Hello. Thank you very much for coming. I just want to say it's actually a real honor to be here, and I'm very thankful to be here. So I want to thank everyone who put all of this together. And as Wayne said, I am originally from Ohio. I live in San Francisco now, and it's always good to be home. So I'm going to read from a collection of poems that I have called Ghosts of Ohio. And a lot of the inspiration for this is a lot of my work is really based on my life living in Ohio. And I left Ohio looking for something better, going to San Francisco. And it wasn't until I got out there that I started writing all these poems about Ohio. It was really strange to actually move 2,000 miles away, and I'm now sucked in writing about all of this stuff. And I guess it's all about a displacement, I guess, where it's like I had to leave it before I could actually reflect on it. And so this state that I wanted to get out of very badly, I kind of started to fall in love with, in a way. And so that's what a lot of these poems are about, my love for it and just really, really missing where I grew up and the people. And so the first poem I'm gonna read is of the same name that I titled the collection, and it's called Ghosts of Ohio. When I was young, those stories would come and sit on the edge of my bed, like a mother looking after her child, a mother unaware that she is dead. Like the five cemeteries of Athens that form a pentagram when connected on the map. And in the center is the university, where the walls and Wilson Hall bleed. And a girl in room 428 still screams years after she died. Then there is the torso killer of Kingsbury Run, collecting limbs, leaving them in baskets and burlap bags along the Cleveland riverbanks. And when the sun goes down, the headless shadows surface behind Hart Manufacturing under the Cuyahoga bridges. Even that hospital on the hill with its dark tuberculosis ward, condemned now and silent on summer nights, where something moves on the top floor, a fluid shape in the window waves like curtains or a patient's gown. They do not scare me anymore. Not like waking to a new day, unchanged like the day before, to a ground thick with ice and apparitions at the window formed from last night's frost. And the next poem I'm going to read is called County Fair. And this one kind of came about from sort of the idea that I had for a really long time. I feel like I write poems forever. And I get the idea, and I don't really understand what it is until it finally kind of gets concrete. And this kind of actually came from me living in Bowling Green, and there's every year, somebody can back me up, I don't remember, but there's an annual tractor pull. And it is the loudest thing you ever hear. And it goes on for a few days. And so I always had that image in my head, and I finally found a place to put it. So this is County Fair. Those red tents have been resurrected off State Route 25. They fill the sky like rust-colored clouds, like a summer storm sliding off the lake. It's a sure sign the town will die for a day or two at least, or until the fairground closes its gates. It has never been my thing, the blue ribbon pigs, the kids with their cotton candy hands screaming on the tilt-a-whirl. I would rather go downtown, where it looks like the rapture has come. All God's faithful, rising and falling on carousel horses as sinners wander the streets. Shuffling shoes down the avenue, every ordinary sound seems sacred. The leaves dragging their dead bodies down the block, the flag at the post office flapping its stripes. The wind carries a jukebox tune from one of the corner bars, and I swear I hear the record stop, flip, and begin to play again. It should seem the world has slipped away with the banks and the bakeries left behind, the drugstore windows filled with dust, but it's never seemed more within reach. And at night, from my bed, while the fireflies cluster like galaxies, the earth will echo back the fireworks display, the grinding of gears from the tractor pull, and I will drift away. The next one I'm gonna read, I was actually not planning on reading, but with today's events and the weather and everything, it just kind of kept pulling at me, and so I thought I probably should throw it in. It kind of kept insisting. So this is called Dark at 2 p.m. December rain dances with swaying swings in the playground. It drums its feet on dirty trails where human remains were found. I wonder if the dead feel the cold during mid-afternoons in winter when children sit at decaying desks, watching clouds collect thunder and darkness. There are lessons on arithmetic, the Revolutionary War, but the world is filling up with loss, like storm drains after a torrential night. Something feels heavier than science books with their explanations for everything. Distractions take the young away from bus stops and homework on Monday evenings. Even I have been taken away from my writing, from a warm cup of tea, to see the darkness at 2 p.m., the sky swirling and obscuring the tops of church steeples. There are poems to finish and words I have yet to get down, but I am drawn to the grounds in the graveyard, soft from the day's weather, its fresh burials. I wonder if the long-gone shiver when we are gently pulled away from living. The next one I'm gonna read, you can wait. You can wait till they're all done, it's okay. The next one I'm going to read is called Murder of Crows. And I really don't have a whole lot of background on this except that where I live now, there every once in a while will be these huge, huge crows, I think like he was saying, about as big as a dog, that sit on the back of one of these houses, and I just had to write about it. So this is called Murder of Crows. It is late winter, and the sky is filled with them drifting on the air. Wings spread and gliding over lonely county roads, dark as a blood clot. Soon they will descend like bitter old memories in search of their roost. And like memory, there is always a season for them to come home. Floating down like ash, they'll cover the chimney tops, the tips of branches. They'll hang together, huddled like young high school boys hiding cigarettes. In their marble eyes, I will see recollections of old flight patterns. I am done with them, with their matching uniforms, with past migrations. But they are stubborn, cursing among each other, refusing to leave. When they are ready, they'll unfurl like a black flag let loose on the wind. The next one I'm going to read is called Saturday Afternoon Horror Movies. And this is just about my best friend and just friends in general, who I'm very honored that they're here and that really feels good. And this really came out of really, really missing people who kind of had the same things in common. I'm a horror movie junkie, and I moved to San Francisco and couldn't find a whole lot for some reason. So this is for them. Don't leave. The front yard is filled with death clinging to the elms, screaming underfoot. Besides, the sun won't be out today. It will sleep inside its crypt until the autumn tires of its stay. We have the living dead on local access, masked psychos with butcher knives on cable. We can slip some rum into our cider, drill the eyes into a jack-o'-lantern, and keep a tally of the body count. So you noticed, the poltergeist in the kitchen throwing around dirty dishes, and the bed that goes unmade for days. I've just been too busy, tracking the noise, like a pounding in the walls or in my chest, something that is here, but gone. Tell me if you hear it over the chainsaws on the television. Tell me if you feel that chill like a specter just sat down in the corner. All these disturbances come crossing over when my mind wanders to the orbs and photographs, our long-ago debates on what teases the lights on and off at midnight, what rattles the doorknobs one by one down the hallway. It must be so much more than the dead trapped and lost in boarded-up farmhouses, the slippered feet of the old shuffling for centuries in condemned nursing homes. Maybe it's the power of a moment or a time, the power of a pain so great it left pieces to puncture our layers. We used to know how to waste a Saturday, your knee touching mine under a heavy blanket, the ghost of cigarettes still haunting the ashtrays, the wind like the beat of bat wings on the side of the house. There was a time when the fear of such things passing and changing was unreal to us. Unreal like resurrected psychopaths or the way a teenage girl can't run through the woods without tripping. Stay and explain to me how that died. It did not die violently like blood splattering on the screen. It crawled down slowly to the living room floor to taste the dust, to let the choke of October settle in its throat. I think I'm just gonna read two more. The next one is called Chippewa Lake. And I was looking at a lot of things online and I actually found that Ohio has a lot of abandoned amusement parks that I never ever knew about before. And there was this one that just kind of caught me. And it's just this abandoned amusement park. I don't know if anybody's heard of it.
Yes.
Oh, all right. The photos I saw of this was so unbelievable because a lot of the stuff is still standing, except it's all just been taken over. So everything will end, like the Big Dipper coaster at Chippewa Lake. It is not easy to imagine the Midway sleeping through summer, or the Tom Sawyer steam engine beached on the shore, dead as an old carp. But these things happen. Factories close, families move, gears sigh one last time. The Starlight Ballroom is now a pile of steel bones from last year's arson, and the Tumble Bug, tucked away in Kittyland, has toppled over from the weight of time, from teenagers sneaking in to climb on her arms. I know how this looks, these mechanical corpses left for cruel deaths. But the land will bring a kind and gentle passing that comes with the spring. The season creeps in with tight vines for the turnstiles, the chain link fences. It fills the empty spaces of the Ferris wheel with thick birch branches, coaxes the dogwoods to crane their necks through the slats of the coaster's track. All will surrender, like the delicate remains of a white-tailed deer, left to decompose with the wild violets that bloom from the soft ribcage. See how the lift hill of the Big Dipper rises like a slender spine, reaching for the limbs of blue ash, for the embrace of the day's last light. And thanks. The last one I'm gonna read is a very small one, and I'm actually really proud of it for two reasons. Number one, I don't write small poems, so the fact that I was able to write something very small and very short and say what I had to say made me very happy. I feel like I can get a little long-winded sometimes. So the fact that I wrote this tiny little thing just kind of made me happy. And the other thing that makes me happy about it is the idea for it came the last time I was in Columbus. And so to be able to read it here, I think it's a good one to end on, and it's called Orchard. There are no more bees crawling through the corridors of rotting apples. No more ember glow, gold on gold from leaf and sun as day slides away. There is nothing left but the acres of thin limbs on winter's pale skin. Free of all burdens, the clutter of past seasons, voices can be heard. It is a language the land seems to understand when the branches sway. Words tossed to the wind seem to say, "The past is done, and we are okay." Thank you.